Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings. Welcome to our advocacy program for the persecuted church on Warn Radio. I'm Tower, and we are glad you joined us tonight. It's Wednesday, the 24th day of April, 2019. And the readings in the Word this week are found in Leviticus chapter 16, starting at verse 1 through chapter 18, verse 30, Amos chapter 9, verses 7 through 15, and the New Testament portion is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 52, and also Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 28. Take time to read these biblically centered articles by the Watchman. The Light of Mercy in a Darkened Age. Lights of mercy are to be ever bright, and the lights of mercy are revealed through the Son of God and His redemptive power. Then through those He has redeemed as they become the lights of hope and the message of redemption to all they come in contact with. In the last days of hedonism, evil, terrorism, and peril, the lights of mercy are to be bright so that those who are to come will come to the Lord for redemption. Politics and the Writer's Complex. Trump fodder for thought, and 2020 is coming. Many like Alec Baldwin make money provoking people to laugh at President Trump. The contempt is amazing, and yet today, 82% of Trump supporters would vote for him again. In addition, he has a rating of 53%. You can read those articles and more by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. You can listen to Warn Radio worldwide from your PC, Android, Apple device, and many other avenues. You can find the speaker embed on warn-usa.com, and links to listen from like iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Blueberry, and many others. You can watch the videos that we have on the warn-usa.com blog. And tonight our show is Advocacy, Faith, and the Gospel News. Tonight we have Laos rounds up and jails three American Christians, astounding new polls on British Christians' belief, teen rises from the dead, Sri Lanka suicide attacks kill many Christians, birthed again, thousands flock to Jordan baptism. So stay tuned for those and many others as we have time. Before I welcome in the Watchman, we have this.
You're listening to Warn Radio on the WIBR Warn Radio Network. Don't forget to visit our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com, and also follow us on Twitter, find us on Instagram, and join us on LinkedIn.
Greetings, everybody.
Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. What's going on?
Well, I'll tell you, we are right in the middle of a lot of good stories tonight and things happening and response. I've seen a lot of stories today, especially, there is no doubt that there's been more Christian persecution in recent memory, especially many dying than at any other time. I mean, really, it is.
It's ramping up, and yes, that's the truth.
in our short news stories today, you know, the Iranian-backed militias are now a threat to Iraq's Christians. And along with this, you pointed out yesterday, and I did see the headline, they had the Ayatollah over there appointed a new general of the army or something, a new leader of the army.
Yes, yes, they did.
So
he vowed to go after the United States and Israel.
Well, you know, the thing that is, Persia has been an enemy of Israel many times, but actually, you know, it was the Persian King Cyrus who allowed the Jews, commanded them to rebuild the temple and go back to Jerusalem because he had conquered Babylon. So, you know, they're not always enemies, but boy, I'll tell you today, Iran is a definite enemy of a lot of people, including Israel. But over in, now you might remember this during 2014, 2015, when we were covering the ISIS bloodshed over there, and we did this every day, practically every day of the week we were covering this, and we were sending out tweets. We were getting direct information from the areas, from those who were around. And our tweets were getting up in the top 10 of tweet results at the time. That's how busy it was. And Karagash was Iraq's largest Christian town. And, of course, when ISIS overran it, it was just a mess. And everybody left the area. And who didn't leave, you know, wound up in trouble. I mean, it's just all there is to it. And it's kind of interesting that, you know, that would happen. And it's one of those things that now the Iranian militias, you know, are the enemy. And it's kind of interesting that it was Iran who actually went in and helped Iraq defeat ISIS and things like this. But CBN News came out and talked about with the fall of ISIS, there's another thing taking place, and Iranian-backed militias are now occupying many of the former Christian towns, making it virtually impossible for Christians to come back. Now, of course, they don't want Christians back.
That's too bad.
And Turkey doesn't either. Turkey's cracking down, too. So if you're in the Middle East and you're a Christian, it is a mess. And, you know, the Lord says in the gospel, he says, if they persecute you here, flee. But for many of the Christians, there's nowhere to flee. And for the church in the West, you know, it is up to us to move and to do something and get involved. And to all of our listeners over on Blog Talk, this is an effort to tell you, suggest to you that if you are a Christian believer, you know, you need to pray for your brothers and sisters around the world that are suffering. You need also to tune into this broadcast. We're going to keep you updated on the latest. And if you have any news stories, feel free to send them to us. Be sure to follow us on Blog Talk and also suggest this to others, because we want to get together and we've been doing this for a long time. And so we just added the listenership of Blog Talk Radio, and we've been, you know, working to get this thing done for everybody. And if you are a Christian, you need to support the ministries that are on the ground helping the brethren in Christ. And right now, believe me, it is a trouble. And, you know, Tower, this particular issue is close to our heart.
That's right.
And so we're going to move on now. Now, have you heard of, now I don't know if I can say his name, Folau. He's a superstar rugby player, but he's a Christian. And he was on Australia's national team and for 73 test matches. And he is a star in his own rights on the Australian rugby club scene the world over. He has over 300,000 following him on Instagram. That just shows you what he has.
And yeah, that's great.
He's been sacked by the Rugby Australia over accusations of homophobia because he quoted St. Paul in the Bible on homosexuality. And
that's just wrong.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, you know, people today in the world, they get really itchy and really nasty when you start speaking of sodomy and homosexuality. And I've had people call me on the radio shows in the past saying, well, then you think that homosexuality is the reason America's fallen. And I told him, I said, no, do you think homosexuality is the only sin that's listed in the Bible? There's a whole pile of them. And matter of fact, especially in America, and if you really get into what caused the fall of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was pride. So this is important to understand that within this, you shouldn't be taking it literally. Is that you, Tower?
No, it's the printer. I can't stop it.
The printer?
Yeah.
That's weird. Sorry about that, folks. We'll solve that. So at any rate, they decided that they would, he posted a meme which paraphrases St. Paul's admonition to certain sinners to repent of their sins or face eternal damnation. And so they got rid of him. And this is, you know, this is the politically correct thing. Anything is politically correct except for a person wants to express himself according to his faith. And he stood firm.
That's right.
And he told the Sydney Morning Herald, he said, first and foremost, I live for God. Whatever he wants me to do, I believe his plans for me are better than whatever I can think. If that's not to continue on playing, so be it. My faith in Jesus Christ, what comes first? And so, you know, I don't agree with all the politically correct garbage going out because in the same thing they talk about politically correct, it's not politically correct to be a white American in America. It's not politically correct to be a Christian in many places on earth today. It's not politically correct even during the time Obama was president to be a Christian businessman and say you want to stand on your principles. And so they forced their homosexual agenda on many of them and took them to court. And some of that's changed around now. But see, the thing of it is, I mean, you know, we're either all going to be free or we're not all going to be free. And you can't just pick people out. And of course, I don't get into homosexuality much. It's not a big issue for me. I have friends that people that I know that are involved in various kinds of lifestyles. But, you know, it's just like, you know, they're people. You know, the bottom line of it is that people that are fornicating, and you can go to Hollywood, that are fornicating and doing everything that they want to out there, or lying and stealing and thieving, that's all sins. So when you start, you know, blaming people just for talking about homosexuality or whether you're, you know, think that homosexuality is the worst sin out there, yeah, it's declared an abomination. You know, the bottom line of it is that, you know, there is another scripture in Revelation that says, he that is wicked, let him be wicked still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And that's found in the last chapter of Revelation.
The thing that I find is so disturbing about all this is Christians don't have a right to their own opinion, and we should. we should be able to disagree agreeably. They want to live that way, fine, but I believe this, and we should have a right to how we believe.
That's right.
Just because they don't like it, they don't like being called out about their sin. They don't, you know, they don't want to have to accept responsibility for that. But when they stand before the white throne judgment of God, they will not have an excuse.
Well, you know, that's true. And well, at any rate, let's move on here. Laos rounds up and jails three American Christians. This is out of International Christian Concern. There's a lot of people covering this. But, you know, of course, I graduated from Bible college many, 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 many years ago. And one of the things, if you were a missionary, you're going to work overseas as a Christian worker, you had to understand there were closed countries. And if you went into those closed countries, you had to be careful what you were doing. And many of the closed countries would not allow you to come in if you were a preacher. And you could get into China if you were a teacher and could teach English, but you had to be very careful about what you said. So, yeah. You know, there's been an open spot for probably about 30 years now where the world kind of opened up. And then now in the last 10 years, it's just sealed shut. In the last 5 years, it's really sealed shut. And, of course, here you have three people. They were with the U.S.-based Christian organization Vision Beyond Borders. And they were sharing gospel literature and the good news of Jesus Christ. And, of course, they were caught at it. And, you know, so they detained by police in the northern north of Musing. You know, but the thing of it is, you can't do that, you know, in a lot of these places. In Laos, you get over in Laos and Cambodia and Vietnam, there are tribal groups over there that are indeed Christians that have been facing a tremendous persecution because of their faith for generations. So it's not a free place to be. You got to really be careful. And the U.S. Embassy in Laos has been involved in that. And the U.S. State Department did confirm that these people were held. Of course, Asia News reported that a local Christian group there had heard about it. They're traveling to the province to see what they can do to get them out, because sometimes you really do need to help out the newbies into your country to deal with the police.
That's
so,
right. And so
pray for them, for their protection, for fair treatment, and be able to be released, and that they wouldn't face jail time. And also that the Laos government would allow religious freedom so that believers could freely obtain Bibles and worship together. But the thing of it is this is why Brother Andrew used to be smuggling Bibles into the country, into a lot of countries, is because these countries would not allow a Bible. And so we're getting to the point where if you're a Christian, you need to make up your mind who you're going to serve, because the world is anti-Christ as I speak right now.
There's no time to be sitting on the fence, playing both sides.
Yeah, and if that fence is a barbed wire fence, that's pretty hard to sit on. Well, that's what this is, really. I mean, all this problem, this is a barbed wire fence, so you can't sit on the fence. You know, God is telling his people, you need to make up your mind who you're going to serve. You know, because friendship with the world is an enmity with God. You know,
Amen. And
that's the bottom line. And so Tower and I have been doing this for over 21 years, and we've been warning people longer than that. That's just in this last day's ministry portion of our ministry, which began many, many years ago in the mid-70s. Another thing, you know, I found this really not surprising, because as I told you back in the 90s, I had seen a poll about the pastors that were in the UK and how they had did not believe in a lot of the things like the divinity of Christ and the inerrancy of Scripture. But a new poll, this is out of One News Now, said that 46% of the Christians in the United Kingdom says that less than half of that believe in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the world's sins. The bottom line of it is, if you don't believe, you're not a Christian. So that's really where this is at. I don't care what
that's
people
sad.
Say. Yeah. More than now. See, this is where the poll really did take a twist, because BBC is the one that conducted it, and they asked 2,000 British adults, and it was announced by a BBC radio program on a Sunday, asking how much of the traditional Easter story is actually optional for Christians. And of course, it says Dave Tomlinson, who is the author of How to Be a Bad Christian and a Better Human Being. And he says it doesn't make sense, in noting that he observes many evangelicals also doubting the Easter story and Jesus' atonement for the sin of man. I think it makes God out to be some kind of a weird monster, really. However, more than 8 of 10 regular church-growing Christians believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again to provide forgiveness of sins. The program added that, according to the poll, 82% of Christians who attend worship services at least once a month overwhelmingly agree that the Easter story is true. And, you know, the bottom line of it is that you either do or you don't believe. You either believe that you can trust the word or you don't. You know, I teach on two nights a week, Thursdays and Fridays, of our shows. If you don't believe that the Word of God is the Word of God, it isn't going to do you any good. Now, you can listen to
That's
it,
right.
but as the Lord told those around him, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. You have to have ears to hear, not ears to find fault, not ears to retain your unbelief, but ears to hear. You got to combine the Word of God with faith. And so, you know, there's going to be a shocker in this old world when it comes right down to it, when the comfortable West meets up with the radical Middle East and Far East. The twain is going to run into a world war, and there's going to be blood everywhere. And this is really what we would call the apocalypse, the true apocalypse, and they're all going to be gathered around Israel. So at any rate, I don't know about you, but you have to believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the only begotten of the Father. He was born of a woman. He was fully God and fully man. And he brought God's word to this earth, and he told everybody what he was to do, his mission. He died on the cross according to the law. The law says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says of all the sinners that the soul that sinneth, it will die. God decided again in the law that it was through the blood that atonement would be made. And in the Old Testament, that atonement was made through the blood of bulls and goats. The fulfillment was to come through the Son of God, for the Son of God was actually crucified before the foundation of the world, because the twain got together, God the Father and the Son, and this is what the redemptive portion for man would be. So he died on that cross, was resurrected. He was in the grave for 3 days and three nights, resurrected from the dead, was seen alive by many infallible proofs. And note here, he was only seen alive of those who believed. He did not appear to the unbelieving chief priests, and he didn't believe even to the unbelieving Apostle Paul, who was not the Apostle Paul at that time. But he appeared to Paul, who was on his way to Damascus, and on the way to Damascus, he was planning on rending the church some more and throwing more Christians in prison. And he left instructions for the church, and he rose again. I mean, he ascended before the apostles, left instructions, and is at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for the saints according to the will of God, and he's coming again. Now, that is the gospel in a nutshell, and I believe it 100%.
Amen. That's right, amen.
And now, you know, when we do this, we always like to cover some of the other news. Now, there's a lot of bad things going on, but I want you to know that in the process of all this, there are miracles and signs and wonders that happen. And even in your own life as Christians, you can expect God to help you. So, Tower, are you ready with this next one?
Yes, and I'm really glad to be able to share this with everybody, because this comes out of the United States, and a lot of the times we've been telling about miracles from the Middle East. So I'm glad to have one in the United States to give people hope here. And this is about a teen. He was 14 years old back in 2015. And his name is John Smith, and he fell through the frozen surface of a lake in St. Charles, Missouri, and he was submerged for 15 minutes. He had no pulse when emergency workers pulled him from the freezing water, or for nearly 45 minutes after, and his body was a mere 88 degrees. But the story wasn't over. After audible prayer by his mother, Joyce, John's heart finally started up again, astounding the nurses and doctors around him. Over the next several days, John's community rallied around him, lifting the young man up in prayer. Less than 3 weeks after the accident, John made a full, seemingly impossible recovery and walked out of the hospital. And his story came out on Easter weekend, I guess, and it's a movie, a faith-based film called Breakthrough, from Miracles from Heaven. And the producer is Devon Franklin. And this film highlights the power of prayer and proves that miracles still exist today. And he's almost 19 now, I would say, or 18, 19. And he said in an interview, he's had people come up to him and say, "My dad was an atheist for 20 years, but your story sparked curiosity in him again. And people have told me my family was falling apart, but what happened to you changed our family and brought them back to God." So that's exciting that this has happened, you know. So it hit the theaters last weekend, and it's based on his mother's book that she wrote in 2017, The Impossible. And in it, she recounts a desperate moment she prayed, "Holy Spirit, please come and give me back my son." You know, there's nothing more devastating than to lose your child.
Yeah, it is. And that is amazing. You know, when you're in desperation like that and you just, please come. And that is tremendous.
And John also shares, "It was interesting. The first time I saw myself fall through the ice, it wasn't about me," he shared. "I was more intrigued by my mom and my pastor because I'd never actually saw them. I only heard about what happened. Seeing their reaction hit me harder than what actually happened to me. Seeing my mom and how she interacted with me, it brings people closer to God than they've ever were before." And this is a testament to God's sovereignty and power.
You know,
and it acknowledges the reality that suffering is real and life doesn't always make sense.
Well, we've covered a lot of amazing things, especially coming out of the Middle East. One of the biggest ministries that we cover down there is all former Muslims who have come to Christ, and there's tremendous miracles that are happening in the ministries down there, and we see also miracles happening in many other places as well. And so, you know, when we talk about you know, what is happening to the Christians around the world, understand that Revelation 12:11, "We overcame," past tense, "by the blood of the Lamb," meaning you're born again, "by the word of your testimony," which refers to the Lord saying, "Whosoever confesses me before men, I'll confess him before the Father and his angels. And whoever denies me before men, him I will deny before the Father and his angels." And the last part of that is, "And they love not their lives unto the death." And so we have to be prepared to stand up. And this leads me again to the attacks in Sri Lanka. And of course, you know, I'm used to seeing the Muslim faces of the leadership of these damnable groups who boast and tell everybody that we had a right to do this. And I covered this thing through ISIS and saw them chop off little girls' heads, cut little boys up, and just absolutely unbelievable. It's hard to believe. Now, see, this is another thing that we have a problem with many of our denominations and everything. Now, while I don't agree with a lot of the denominational teachings, that are not true apostolic, going back to the apostles, but they've been developed within the Roman Church themselves. Yet the Catholic Church has been devastated in a lot of areas. And if you watched ISIS go through, they didn't care whether you were a Catholic, a Baptist. They didn't even care what you were. If they came across you, whether you were a Yazidi, who wasn't a Christian at all but believed in another God, or if you were a Muslim who didn't agree with them and wouldn't join them, or if you were a Christian from any area, if you named the name of Christ as a Christian, they were going to kill you. And so whenever you lose your life for his sake, you're going to find your life. And this is the way the martyrdom works. And here, when we talk about the Catholic churches and the others, you know, there are. I've known Catholics. Of course, if we go back in the time many years ago, there was the charismatic movement among the Catholics, and many of them were born again, and they were filled with the Spirit of God, and they were definitely born again Christians, and some of them stayed in the Catholic Church to try to win others to Christ. So just because you turn around and you, well, they're a Catholic, they're going to hell. No, that's not true at all. And you best not continue judging them. When you lose your life, and I've told people, America and the West and its denominations is one of the worst things that's ever happened to us. We get in this denominational bias and theology we think is right, and it divides us against one another by our love towards one another. Do the people know that we are the people of God? But instead, you know, we don't have that. And I've seen this throughout the years, and it's tragic. But if you have a church that's being persecuted like it's happening in many areas today, and you have Christians sitting in a cave, and you have a Baptist, a Pentecostal, and you have a Catholic, and you have a Lutheran, and all the others, they're hiding there trying to stay safe. You'd be surprised how doctrine don't come up as much. Instead, you know, you may have some of that don't know how to pray for divine healing. Well, there's a Pentecostal dude there that's sitting there, or a woman, and they'll be glad to pray for you. Because persecution, in the midst of persecution and the shedding of blood, people find a commonality, because the hatred is against Christ. That's the one they're supposed to be seeking in all these churches. So it's time for the church to wake up and stop being judgmental, seek the Lord, and just shut up. That would be the biggest thing that you could do. If you are given to supporting trash and unpopular theological, and I don't care what pastor, what fame pastor, what big church, what denominational nutcase says this, it's wrong. And the bottom line of it is, if you die for the name of Christ, you are a martyr. And that's all there is to that. You can take it up with the Lord. But this is unconscionable. And I wouldn't wish this on anybody. And when we covered stuff, we didn't like this happening to the genocide on the Yazidis. We didn't like it happening to Muslims who refused to join ISIS. We don't like it when any people are going to be slaughtered. That's ridiculous. And if you can sit there as a Christian and say you don't mind them getting slaughtered, then I doubt your conversion. Because Christ loves all people, and he calls them all to repentance. And even the enemies of God, he calls to repentance. And matter of fact, a lot of the miracles we're seeing is former enemies of Christ, just like Paul the Apostle was, are actually converted and coming to the Lord. We see this.
Yeah, that's exciting. Thank God.
Yeah. You know, it's funny when we talk about the Jordan River. You know, Christians from all over the world like to go to Israel. And, of course, especially when you have a Holy Week or Christmas. And now Netanyahu, you know, he is really a friend of Christians. There are Jews over there that aren't real friends of Christians. But, you know, the thing of it is, Netanyahu knows that there's a whole passel of Christians who believe in Israel's right to exist, and this land belongs to them. Of course, nobody agrees with that except those who support Israel and Israel itself. But, you know, one particular person who went there says, "This is my dream. Jesus was baptized here, and I think and I believe that this river is blessed. I'm feeling like rivers. I feel like I'm birthed again because Jesus was baptized here." Now, these are people that were baptized there.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, people do come away changed from the Middle East. I mean, you're walking in the very steps of Jesus. But, you know, make no mistake about it. The whole region there is a demonic threshold where the powers of light and dark converge over Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the center of the earth when it comes to this kind of a convergence. Make no mistake about it. Israel itself, though, has, you know, the whole area there of the Middle East has got a lot of blood. There's blood guilt there, bloodshed there. And it needs to be properly taken care of. And so it's Israel or Jerusalem has been attacked many times. It's been sacked many times. There's been tons of blood spilt. Spiritually speaking, Jerusalem is known as Sodom and Egypt. You'll find that in Revelation. So when we talk about Jerusalem being a holy city, it's not a holy city. It's where three great religions, three of the biggest religions converge. It's where the Lord died, but the true holy city is coming down. And that holy city is one of those things that it's called the New Jerusalem. We need to stop that. So at any rate, somebody must be trying to fax us back there. We don't even have a fax, but that'll pick up a fax.
Well, till through tomorrow, then it won't.
I know exactly what it is now. I'll tell you later. I know why it's doing that.
Yeah,
so at any rate, folks,
anyway.
I've never been to Israel, but I've been there many times in Scripture. I haven't been on the streets of Jerusalem, but I've been there many times in the gospel. And I'm looking for the New Jerusalem. I'm looking
amen.
For that which is holy when God is going to, his tabernacle is going to be here on the face of this earth with men, new heavens and a new earth. That's what I'm looking for. Jerusalem, I don't have a desire or a need to go there. I support Israel, but there's going to be a big war over there. And every day the devil is marshaling forces to attack. You know, the bottom line of it is, you know, it's going to be a bloody affair. And I don't look for that day to occur anytime soon. But make no mistake, if Israel needed help, I would go over there. If they needed help, I would go over there and help them. Because they have a right to their land. And it's their land. It's not Palestinian. It's their land. And the liberals in America are wrong, period. Many of them, I think, are nuts. the ones that, and I don't get into that news anymore. I stopped doing regular news a long time ago. But at any rate, we've got another another thing. Are you ready on this?
Yes. This okay, is proof that Christian faith is real. And this comes to us out of Cuba, where it's estimated that as many as 80% of the Cubans practice Santeria. And that's a modern form of witchcraft, which fuses Catholic practices and African folk belief, and very prevalent there. But because of some generous donors, they've been able to plant churches in Cuba, and they have a strong body of Christ followers growing in this once closed off country. And one of the pastors, Alaya, whose name's been changed for security, is a church planner, and he's seen incredible impact in Cuba. And recently he helped plant a church in a neighborhood that was particularly opposed to the gospel. The neighbors all followed Santeria, and every home was marked with pagan signs. But eventually the church members' acts of love and service began to open doors. And in our church, we not only meet to worship the Lord and build ourselves with his presence and his word, but we go out to help the needy of the neighborhood. And they share blessings they receive, and in this way, they help establish bridges of friendship and love. And one neighborhood, this man was very resistant. He was he strongly held to his pagan beliefs, and he kept threatening the church. He was considered to be the head of the cult, and his family was very influential in the community. And the believers began to constantly pray for this family. And over the course of several years, the man's grandson attended a Sunday service, and he was so moved by the gospel that he joined the church and invited his grandmother, who was the wife of the man threatening the church. And the boy's grandmother had been sick and able to work for some time, and doctors had warned her because of her infection, she'd probably have to have her leg amputated and an operation on her kidneys. But the church gathered around the woman and began to pray for a miracle. When she returned to the doctors, they were amazed. She no longer needed the operation. And the woman praised God, and she made a decision to follow Christ, and she was baptized. And now she's sharing her testimony with all her friends, family, and everyone in the neighborhood, including her husband. And he's still very much against God and against the Christians, but we know the Lord's fight for his people. The Lord fights for his people and defends them, and we will continue to pray for him to meet Jesus, says Elia, the church planner. So that's pretty exciting to see that neighborhood turned around for Christ. And I believe that husband will come. Something will happen to make him change his mind.
Well, that's a great story. And that's about the way you see it a lot of times. You know, you have a need, people pray and believe, and God answers. And the miracle, you know, the people standing around can't do nothing about it. It's a miracle. That's even in the time of Christ, you know, the chief priest and those in the Sanhedrin and many of the others that was against the Lord could not deny the miracles that were going on. They had no explanation. He told them, but they still wouldn't believe. And then when we saw the apostles going through, the same thing happened with them. And, you know, the local authorities and those in the churches just tried to fight it tooth and nail. But you can't deny what has happened. And that's what happens. When a miracle happens, the only thing you can do is be stubborn and proud and hard-hearted and a seared conscience and just deny everything. And that will seal your doom and send you to hell right there. But we have seen and read and heard, and the testimonies that we've covered have been absolutely miraculous. Old Testament, apostolic, in the times of the apostles, true miracles, true unbelievable things happening, moving in the midst of all this persecution. And that's why the persecution, because those that persecute Christians are afraid of them. They're afraid of Christ. They're afraid of losing their faith. They're afraid of, that there will be no more Islam. There will be no more Buddhists. There will be no more of nothing. Of any of the others around, because everybody's going to turn to be a Christian. So they kill Christians to try to stop it. But the more that you kill, the more come to the Lord.
That's right. For every one you kill, God brings 10 more in. That's what I believe.
Yeah, I believe that. And the thing of it is that there is going to come a time. And this is in the seals. There's going to come a time when in Revelation, when there's not going to be any more of those who are going to be beheaded and lose their lives for faith. It'll come to an end. There's going to be an ending point to that. So that's really the whole crux of the matter. And of course,
that's
another
right.
hot spot that we really get into is Nigeria. Now we're following Leah Sheribu, and she is still not released. We got another young woman, Asiya Bibi, who was facing death charges, death for blasphemy, but two Supreme
and
Court judges.
That was in Pakistan.
Yeah, in Pakistan, she was found innocent, and they were supposed to have released her in the next 2 weeks. And it's probably been a week and a half since we reported that. In Chibok, that's where Boko Haram captured a whole bunch of girls. How hard is it to attack a girls' school and kill a few of the guards
them.
And take all? Yeah, and kidnap mm-hmm. all the girls. And that's basically what they did. And, of course, Nigeria used to have a Christian leader, Jonathan Goodluck Johnson. And then now they've got a Muslim guy that has been reelected for the second time. And the bottom line of it is that they need to stop Boko Haram, but they also need to stop the Fulani herdsmen who are killing a lot of the Christian farmers there. Slaughtering hundreds of them. This has been ongoing. And the thing of it is that with the Chibok girls and all of that, there's a lot of them that continue to live for the faith and continue to go to church and continue to have their faith in spite of what has happened with everything. And, when you begin to scatter Christians, they'll find a place to meet. And that's exactly what's happening in Nigeria, because all the Christians are gathering together in other places and they're all coming together. And so this is really, really neat to see how all this works out, Tower?
Yes.
I don't know. I feel for them in Nigeria.
I do too.
And
Boko Haram has destroyed hundreds of churches, killed thousands of Christians, and displaced over 2 million people. That's astronomical. That's horrible.
Well, they have, and they need to stop it, but. A lot of times, Boko Haram, because of the illegal activities they have, they actually have more money than the Nigerian army does. In many cases, they are better equipped than the Nigerian army.
That's too bad.
Yeah, we did cover a story last week or the week before about some girls that escaped from them. And one young woman and her baby managed to make it to safety. The others died because it was going through the jungle. It's really a difficult, difficult thing. But, there's just so much heartache in some of these places. And the only way is for the Lord to move in their hearts. and to strengthen them. Of course, living in America, you know, we have no concept of this at all.
That's right, we don't.
So it's just unbelievable that I don't know. One thing that they brought out is that the problem is not only Muslim using the miseries of Christians to convert them, it's even Christian denominations discriminating, favoring members of their own churches whenever they bring any assistance. And see, we've seen this before in India, but only it was the government of India that gave help to everybody but the Christians, and the Christians were supposed to get help from the Christians around the world. But you know, this is not to be. Now, you know, and another thought, that last thing, that Santeria,
In Cuba.
Yeah, they had Catholic churches there combining Santeria. Now, this is a typical Catholic thing that they did many years ago. They did this. Spain did this coming up when they came through South America up into America. All of that put, pagan customs into the Catholic Church. And see, this is what happens, and even in America. I mean, God is going to clean out the church. I don't care what church it is.
Yes, he is.
He is not going to allow uncleanness. And you're certainly not going to get into the kingdom of God if it's unclean. So it's time for the churches to get their heads out of proverbial religiosity and get it into true conversion and love in Christ. And I'll tell you, even over here in Nigeria and other places, the devil works really good when you have chaos. And so we're coming down to the end of the show now. We've got a few minutes left here. But, you know, Tower, I think that in America and the West that don't face this kind of conversion, I mean, this kind of persecution, you would think somebody would wake up.
Get help, do something to help these people. And you got to understand, it's going to come here.
Well, you know, that
we've got things happening in this country that shouldn't be going on. So, you know, it's coming here.
Well, in a lot of cases, you know, they're coming across our border. And of course, the Democrats, you know, for love nor money, they're not going to help Trump because they hate him so much, you know. And
yeah,
of course, this division, I talked about this long before it happened when we had our great summer eclipse a couple of years back. I warned about the division coming to America at that time. And it certainly is here in a lot greater aspect than I ever thought it would be. But America or any country can't stand if you're divided. A church can't stand if you're half pagan and half Christian. This persecution that is coming, this separates the believers from everybody else. This is the fire, and it is coming worldwide, and it's going to come to those who least expect it. And you better get yourself ready in the Lord's hands. And that's all there is to it. So if you don't know him, you need to seek him today. Read John 1. He went to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, who were born again, not by the will of man, but by the Spirit of God. John chapter 3, they're born again by the Spirit. First John 1, where if we walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have fellowship one with another, and then the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans 3 through about 7, confession and repentance is mentioned in those chapters. You need to get in the Word of God. You need to commit yourself. You need to get close to the Lord.
Amen, amen.
So we've got a few, about a couple of minutes. Do you got any last minute announcements about any other shows or anything before we get out of here?
Well, join us tomorrow night at 5:30 on Blog Talk for Battle Lines. And we'll continue our study. It will be, I'm not sure what part. It's, I guess it's a new study. Smelter Repentance and Black Siding. Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 1 on Battle Lines. So be sure to join us for that tomorrow night. And we also have Sound the Shofar on Friday, bringing in the Sabbath rest.
Yeah, and Sound the Shofar is Birth of Ecclesia, the Outpouring of Pentecost.
Part 1.
Yeah.
And Friday night ends Passover. And we're in, and also Unleavened Bread. And today is the fourth day of Omer.
Yep, that's leading down to Pentecost and the outpouring. And so we're going to be covering that Friday night. And so don't forget to go by our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com. You will find us on our own websites. And both of those, we have everything on it. You can also find all of our shows, most of them anyway, on Spreaker, iHeartRadio, and many others. We've got quite a number of them in there. And then we also are on iTunes. So, and of course, now we have two of them on iTunes with Blog Talk. So with that, we're going to get out of here. Say goodnight, Tower.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. May God richly bless you and thank you for all you do for him. Good night.
Shalom. Shalom, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warren Radio.